get caught up Ducks style. Spring game, of course, on the morrow. Big series for baseball starts tonight. The guy who ties it all together, the voice of the baseball program. He's the host of Duck Insider, part of the great football coverage on Twitter at Joey Mack UO, our returning champ. Joey Mack, how's it going with you this final day of April?
I'm not sure what I'm the champion. I'm glad that it's the final day of April, so I'm doing pretty good.
I'm delighted to hear that. So, this is a rarity. Off of our request line, a listener said, when you talk to Joey, so here's the thing. He hears coaches and analysts talk about, in college baseball, how important it is to fill a roster with in-state players. And he says he heard it has to do with resources, the cost of scholarships, and of course you always want your local talent to stay. So, was he on the right path there?
Well, yes, no doubt about it. Baseball is a sport that only has 11.7 scholarships to go amongst a 27-person travel squad. And so, as you can imagine, just financially speaking, it gets up there when you're paying scholarships for out-of-state tuition, which is about 300% more than in-state tuition here at Oregon. So, yeah, no doubt about it. It is a huge deal. And in fact, to kind of double down on it, if you go back and look at the rosters and what was it, 07 and 08 with those great Oregon State baseball teams that won national championships, well, they were powered by in-state guys. You know, they had a collection of in-state guys that were really, really important to them. And I think that was a huge reason why. So, yeah, it's the resources question, and then I'd also be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, you got to be winning some of those recruiting battles for the in-state guys. And you know, I think that the other piece to that is the Ducks have said, and Mark Kwiatkowski said a number of times, hey, this team wants to be the best in the state. That's what they're going after. And then if they can do that, then they've got a pretty good chance to win a Pac-12 championship. And so, in order to do that, you probably are going to have to recruit a number of guys that are in state to have that recognition. So, yeah, I think that's a very good question, and I think that it is a huge piece of to the success, one that some teams have had around the country with in-state talent. And just here at Oregon, you see the examples this year with the middle of their order being a three-hitter and an Oregonian and Kenyon Jovan, maybe the best hitter in the conference, one of the best hitters in the country, and Aaron Zavala is a Kaiser native. And then their sixth hitter, Gabe Matthews, who just became the all-time leader in hits in an Oregon uniform in his career. He hit six for this team, your Friday night starter, who's going to get the ball tonight, Robert Ahlstrom. He's a Eugene native. I mean, it goes on and on. So, yeah, that's a long-winded answer to what I think is a really good question, and it's certainly pertinent with how Oregon baseball has been succeeding this year.
Yeah, that's awesome information. You know, I'm thinking back to even before that with Jacoby Ellsbury and guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so you know, I've heard you and you know, some of the folks you've talked with on the broadcast talk about this pitching staff. You mentioned the weekend starters are capable. The bullpen is deep. You know, it's like they have a very complete staff. So how just top to bottom strong is this group that Coach Angiers puts together?
Yeah, it is really strong. And to be honest, I think it's actually getting stronger. So I'll give you kind of the cliff notes. So in the beginning of the season, the Ducks are still building up toward having their full starting pitching because of some issues with COVID within the program. And so, you know, in the first weekend of the season, they weren't at full strength. And really, ever since then, it's gotten better and better for a number of different reasons. And Robert Ahlstrom is really, really good. I think he's a legit candidate for Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year. You know, he's just one of those guys that competes every time he's on the mound. He won't overpower you with his stuff, but man, is he competitive, Steve. And man, he just knows how to pitch. He changes velocity on his fastball. He's kind of an old-school lefty in that regard. Then Colin Kafka, he pitches Saturdays and probably has the best stuff of anybody on the team, and just a 94-mile-an-hour sinker coming from the right side. I mean, he's a guy who probably has the highest draft potential at the next level of the starting rotation. And then Brett Walker is a preseason All-American because he had a sub-1 ERA in his limited starts last year during that COVID-shortened season. So he's legit. And then couple that with the fact that we just saw Peyton Fuller make his return to the mound on Wednesday. He was actually going to be in the starting rotation potentially. Well, got injured, and we hadn't seen him since the UCSB series. March 5th was the last day that he pitched. And what do you know? Now suddenly he's back, and he may be that fourth starter for the Ducks that could be really important in a lot of these midweek games coming up. And then you mentioned the bullpen. I mean, this week, Colby Summers, there's another Oregonian for you out of the Hillsboro area. Colby Summers just got named to the Stopper of the Year watch list, and that's basically the closer of the year at the collegiate level, and he's legit. I mean, he just has a great mentality when he's out there on the mound. And so, you know, in college baseball, I think that the teams that are the best are the ones that have not just the closer, but the one other bullpen option and the midweek starter. And it sure looks like Oregon may have all of those pieces, and they're pretty darn good pieces. This is one of the best pitching staffs that, at least at this point in the year, statistically, that Oregon's ever had. And, you know, Steve, George Horton had some really good ones. Alex Cadell won Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year in 2012. And, you know, they've had some really, really good ones. Look at David Peterson and what he's doing for the New York Mets. I'm sorry for your Yankees. But, yeah, they're legit. I mean, this is a really, really, really good pitching staff.
Good one, Joey. By the way, folks, now that Joey mentioned it, Sunday Night Baseball, Mets-Phillies, Peterson's throwing on national TV.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. Talking with Joey Mack. Now, offensively, I think in some previous years there was more of a style of offense and there was some success. But from talking with Coach Wasikowski, he made it clear he wanted a little more size, a little more athleticism. So accurate in saying that you're seeing a more diverse attack and that this lineup can do damage in, I guess, just a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I think they're a lot deeper offensively. And Coach Wasikowski, you know, he'll do some different things. He used to always say when he was an assistant coach that it's not just hitting. It's you're running an offense, right? Like, he used to always say that in team meetings when he was an assistant coach under George Horton, and it was always, hey, we need to run an offense. It's not just get in there and swing the bat. It's what you do on the base paths. It's you play the percentages of advancing in certain situations. You know the scouting report inside and out to know when you can run on guys. And then vice versa, I think that Oregon also has gotten bigger and stronger, like you said. And that, a lot of credit goes to Daryl Hunter in that regard. So Daryl Hunter, I mean, people remember that name. He was one of Oregon's first two recruits when the rebirth of the program was announced. He's from the Springfield area, grew up in this area, got to play for the Ducks, went through some really scary injury stuff. I mean, like, we're talking not even baseball injuries, like just health in general stuff that he had to work his way through. But he always had an interest in strength and conditioning. Well, now that's what he's doing full time for this Oregon team, in addition to some pitching analytics. And man, he deserves a lot of credit for the way that they've gotten after it in the weight room. That's a physical lineup that Oregon has top to bottom. And it sure looks like they're coming on strong at the right time, Steve. I mean, Gavin Grant is 12 for his last 21 in this season. And he's at the nine hitter. He's up to 271 as a hitter right now, which is just, you know, you're getting that from your nine hitter, and he's got doubles in three straight games. You're going, yeah, that's pretty good. And then, you know, similarly speaking, Sam Nowitzki, who hit 300 actually as a freshman, and probably, I think, should have been a freshman All-American. He hit 300 as a freshman, but he really has struggled at the plate lately, but not anymore, man. He's playing not only a really good defensive third base, now the number seven hitter for Oregon is up to a 270 average as well. So, yeah, top to bottom, they're much more physical, and Coach Wasikowski plays it aggressive. I mean, there's been times where maybe they've been over-aggressive, but the percentages, Coach Waz will tell you, they work out when you're aggressive in those situations. And over the course of a season, you're better off to be aggressive than not.
Yeah, they come through in the clutch, too. Let's get to football. Of course, spring game is tomorrow. 2 weeks ago, I remember how stoked everybody was. There were fans in the stadium for the scrimmage, but now we're downgraded. No one beyond the obvious will be there tomorrow, and we just found this out earlier this week. So, Joey, I guess, how much of a downer has it been, though? It's no choice, and at this point, everybody kind of lives day to day and adjusts.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I don't know really what else to say, to be honest with you, Steve. You know, it was really heartbreaking to hear Anthony Brown talking just an hour or so before the announcement was made that there wouldn't be fans in the stands. And he was talking about how it would be a dream come true for his mom, who was traveling to see him play and to see him play at Autzen Stadium. And, you know, and you find out in typical 2020, 2021 fashion, you know, just literally an hour later, yeah, no fans. You know, you're not going to have those 8,000 some people in the stadium. And it's just, I don't know, that just sucked. I thought that really illustrated just how cruel and just everything, how cruel everything is in the world right now for these guys and the sacrifices that they've made to still get out there and play. So, yeah, it does suck. I mean, I just hope, Steve, you know, Coach Lombardi, Oregon softball head coach, she said on the show about a month ago, hey, I think the light is flickering. Now it's our job to make sure that that light doesn't go out at the end of the tunnel. And I feel like we're still kind of in that spot. So I'm hoping for a full Austin Stadium in the fall, man. It has not been the same. I'm one of the fortunate ones that's been able to be in the building and watch this team compete. I'll be there on the broadcast roaming around tomorrow. But, you know, I'd much rather be roaming around and seeing people sitting in those seats than roaming around an empty stadium.
Yeah, folks, protect the flame. Don't blow it out. A few final thoughts for Joey Mack. On defense, I know there's going to be a lot of talk, deservedly so, Kayvon Thibodeau. You just get a sense he's going to be a wrecking crew. And, you know, that'll open the door for others is what the attention he'll draw. And a name I seem to hear a lot is Brandon Dorlus. So what you've observed, who have you talked to? Logical think he might be one of those guys who has a breakout season.
I think so. And Joe Salavea, defensive line coach, Good Ducks, met with the media today, you know, and I know you were going to play a little bit of that today. And I think, you know, Brandon Dorlus has just got all the tools, right? You know, that when I watched him play, really, as he's developed, man, you just see the physical tools. And now that I think he's gotten some more experience behind some of those veterans that he's now filling in for, he's the real deal. I think that group of defensive linemen, it's kind of interesting how these things always come in waves, right? It's like, you had Jordan Scott. He was such a staple. You had Austin Fowley, who'd been around a long time. You know, guys like that. And, you know, then Kayvon Thibodeau gets a lot of attention, even though he's playing a little more not in the traditional three-point stance now. But you just look at that, and then it kind of comes in waves, right? And I think you're seeing it now. A guy like Christian Williams, even, I think, could get in there and play a lot. But Dorlus, I think, is a guy that could really, really impact this team. And then, you know, the other one I'll throw out there, Steve, that I feel like he's kind of been a forgotten commodity because of Jordan Scott and how effective Jordan's been and how many snaps he's played. But Popo Amavi, I think, is a guy who's really stepped into a leadership role on that defensive line too. You know, I think that Brandon Dorlus is probably a great pick for potential breakout guy. Anybody on that defensive front, I think it might be him. I think Mace Funa I might throw in there a little bit, but I'm not sure you can call it a breakout after the way he played his freshman year alongside Kayvon Thibodeau. It's just Thibodeau kind of overshadows him, but I think Popo's the guy to watch out for too. He plugs a lot of gaps, man. He's pretty smart in that regard.
On the other side of the ball in the backfield, from listening to Coach Mastro using the boxing term pound for pound, what Rob Mosley said about the guy just takes a lick and comes back for more. What could you tell us about the walk-on Cross Patton, and I guess kind of the impact he's making this spring?
Yeah, boy, what a cool story, right? I mean, I think folks know his dad, a relatively famous entertainer in the world. And so I think that's in general a cool story, right? How the guy who had opportunities to go play elsewhere, but he was like, I want to walk on at Oregon. That's where I want to go. And first of all, that's just kind of cool to see that. And then two, he's got the opportunity to do so because he's talented, you know, and this is a thin group at running back right now. And so I'm actually really curious. That's one of the things I'm kind of watching tomorrow is what does the running back position look like? Because, you know, C.J. Verdell, we know what that guy can do when he's healthy. And we know how much the offense struggled last year when he wasn't healthy. Same thing with Travis Dye. We know what he can do. And, in fact, he's not even working on special teams near as much, if at all, because he's been focusing on that running back position because the Ducks are a little thin there. I mean, it's been a lot of repetitions for those guys. And so Cross, I think, you may see him a little bit, and I think that he's showed some things. He's got a really quick first step. You know, Coach Mastro, obviously, like you said, loves his toughness. I'm excited to kind of see what that group can do because they are a little thin. With some injuries there with Sean Dollars and everything, I mean, they are a little thin. And so depth is going to be needed at that spot. We've seen that time and time again. Those running backs get beat up throughout the course of a college football season.
And if the system breaks down, Cross Patton could rap for everybody. So you're covered.
That's right.
And lastly, the spring game is set, like I said, 2 o'clock. We'll have the call here. You'll have it all over the Oregon Sports Network. So, I don't know, format-wise, the broadcast setup, you know, what could folks expect to hear from you guys and see, I guess, on the Pac-12 Network?
Yeah, it's my understanding, and obviously things could change pretty darn quickly, is the first half will be a football game. Coach Cristobal and the staff deciding on, you know, really, to be honest with you, Steve, this is going to come down to availability of guys. You know, if guys are nicked up, dinged up, whatever, I mean, that's what's going to really determine if it's ones versus twos, if it's you know, they draft teams and split things up. How do they do it? Is it just going to be offense versus defense? I wish that I knew the answer to that question, but I do know that it's going to be at least a football game with Oregon playing against the Ducks. And I think that that's kind of, you know, that's good news that they can at least do that, because we didn't get a spring game last year.
Right.
You know, I think anytime we're in Austin these days, I'm just grateful to be in there. So that's going to be the first half. The second half will be probably a little more controlled. They may do some situational stuff. It'll be thud only with a running clock. And really, because the key to every spring game, just like every practice, you want to get good work in, but the biggest, most important thing is you got to come out of it healthy. And that's what the Ducks are definitely going to try to do. So that's the plan. For us, we'll get on the air at 2 o'clock. Jerry and Georgie will roll right into the play-by-play. We figured that's what everybody wants to hear this year, is let's just get into hearing some of those names and hear them making plays. So that's what we're going to do. I'll be roaming around. And then, you know, the second half, with it kind of being a little bit different, not a true football game, we're going to kind of treat that like we would maybe like a talk show and a pregame show in that regard, where Jerry and Georgie will let you know what's going on. But, you know, I always kind of joke, it's really just the Jerry and Georgie football hour, and that's what everybody wants to hear anyway. So
that's awesome. Hey, Joey, I know you got a lot going on. You just finished the show. You got a three-game set today, starting today. So have a great broadcast. Have an awesome weekend. Have a terrific time tomorrow. And my friend, we shall chat soon.
Steve, always my pleasure. Hopefully we're in person doing a pregame show again in the fall. I can't wait.
Yeah, fingers crossed, buddy. Have a good one. Thanks for the time, Joey. Have a good one.
Thanks, bud.